This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
It was super cold this morning when I walked to work. The music is playing. We've had Jarrett Payton and Paul Charchian on. Mark Grody keeps saying Bears. This is Raheemian Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. So you know what time it is now? It's football time.
He just keeps saying it. I don't know what's going on. He just won't stop saying Bears.
The best was your Kyle Long interview last week. I think you said Bears 15 times.
He was triggering me. He knew what he was doing.
Instead of saying yes, you were saying Bears.
Bears. And I gave him 10 Bears. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I gave him 10 Bears at the end, and he said something like, well, thank you for your approval, Grody.
At least he had fun with it.
He did. He did have fun.
Kyle Long is a Bears. He will play along with that type
He's
of stuff.
He's a Bear. What do you think?
He is a Bear.
He's a Bear.
That's why he got 10.
Yeah, Bears. 10 Bears.
And his entire career was with?
Bears.
There it
He's
is.
He's a Bear for life. He said that. And I got
BFL.
Goosebumps.
Bear for
Bears
life.
BFL.
Or B4L.
Yeah.
Just do the number four.
Yeah, bruh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We're too hype for this
Robbie,
prediction segment already.
I'm overstimulated. I'm the lead. Goodbye.
So this is the brainchild of one Robert Triano.
Bob Tree.
The Bob has come into the building and suggested we do this segment.
Hey, all, it's me, Bob. All right, so it is week one. Games officially start today, so we need to have our predictions in a little time capsule. You guys will put your word on the line, your predictions on the line, and we will pull this up later in the year to see how right you are or how wrong you are. I have 7 questions for you guys, couple Bears, couple total NFL. Question number one, will Caleb Williams throw for 4,000-plus yards? Layla Rahimi.
Yes. I don't know why I'm saying it. I just really want it to happen. I feel like he got pretty close with a terrible situation last year. Over 3,500. So yes. Yes, he will throw for over 4,000 yards. Especially since I don't know who's the running back.
I mean, come on.
Outside of DeAndre Swift. You know what we mean.
No. I know what you meant. But when I said come on, I mean, of course he's going to throw for 4,000 yards. Unless he gets hurt.
Why'd you do that? Why did you have to? Why?
Well, that's why he wouldn't throw for 4,000 yards. I'm putting the caveat in there. If he's healthy, he's going to throw for 4,000 yards. I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I say that by the second half of this season, it's definitely going to be a thing. And I'm like excited about the Caleb Williams era under Ben Johnson, because that's going to be a very different thing than what the Caleb era was under Matt Eberflus. Okay, so just it's a thing. It's 235.29 yards per game to get to 4,000. He's going to get it.
Do me a favor, guys, if you can, and look up how many quarterbacks threw for 4,000 yards last year, and I think that will help to add to my answer, which is no, I don't think he will throw for 4,000 yards.
What? However, stand by.
I have a very specific number, 3,856 yards. I'll even go as far as to tell you, you know what? I won't tell you the touch. You'll have to listen to the podcast to get my touchdown numbers and my interception numbers and even quarterback rating for Caleb Williams. But I think he falls just short of 4,000 yards this year. And I think it's because of what I've been feeling and seeing in the way that they have been playing in the preseason and some of the training camp that it's going to be a lot of DeAndre Swift. And hopefully that is effective. And look, I think what do we keep hearing? What is one of the number one stress things this year to Caleb Williams from this coaching staff? And the last coaching staff said it as well. You don't have to be a hero. Make the simple plays. Let your playmakers make plays. And I know that those yards get added to Caleb Williams's numbers, but I just think he's going to fall just short. I do think in his career he will have 4,000 with the Bears, but just short this year.
Okay, 14 players played 17 games last year. Six of them threw for 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
And look.
So only six players had 4,000 yards last year.
But when it came to the just short category, that's a pretty impressive group as well.
Yeah, and I'm putting Caleb Williams just short, so I don't think I'm too out of control by saying that. Or out of line.
Who remembered that Baker Mayfield had an even 4,500 yards on the nose?
Really?
Yeah.
In that trash division, he should.
Caleb Williams is throwing for over 4,000 yards. If he's not, that's a disappointment or Bajent took over. That's just what happened.
Like,
meaning he got hurt. Happened. Unless you're saying Bajent took over for other reasons.
I don't know.
Baby TZ.
What am I saying?
Oh, Bob.
I've got a gut feeling he is not going to hit 4,000 yards this year. Grody, we are so close. The first number that popped in my head, 3,830.
Wow.
3,830 passing yards.
I
agree with Grody's overall sentiment. I will say this. I expect him to be down late in some games and be chucking that thing.
But I do think it has a lot to do with what your run game is going to do. Like, for example, the guy who won the Super Bowl last year at QB only threw for 29-some-odd yards. So, 2,900-some-odd yards.
Saquon Barkley's not walking out of that tunnel.
Yeah, precisely. And you know, for example, Tua Tagovailoa, he had a 70% completion rate, but he only threw for 2,867.
Because he missed six games.
But 4,000 for Caleb Williams? Let's do it.
Second question, Bears-related as well. In the NFC North, I added this question last minute, so good luck. What will the Bears' record be in the NFC North this year? Two games against the Vikings, Packers, and Lions each.
Okay, so I just looked at the schedule and went win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Now I've got to do more math. So while I tabulate, I turn the floor to somebody else.
3-3. 3-3 in the division. I've got them winning the game, obviously, Monday night. I've got them losing at Detroit. I've got them winning at Minnesota. I've got them losing at Green Bay. I've got them winning at home against the Packers, and I have them losing the season finale against the Lions.
Good God. I will go 3-3 as well. I'll be honest with you, I don't have the breakdown of which ones they're going to win.
They won
and
all the home
lose.
Games on mine. They okay. lost all the road games.
Yeah, I like that, but I do feel better about the division because you have a coach who comes from the division and has seen it and clearly is very confident about going up against the other coaches in the division, as we know with Matt LaFleur, and game planning against Kevin O'Connell, and he's done pretty good against him as well. So I'm not going to get carried away. I will say three wins against the division this year.
They are finishing 2-4 in the division, and I'm just going to say this on record because this is a time capsule. If the Bears beat the Detroit Lions, I will come into work in clown makeup or a dunce hat. I will do that. I will wear that because that's how confident they are going to be. The Bears are going 0-2 against the Lions this year.
The reason you're saying that is hilarious is because that last game, Detroit might not play its starters. You don't know that.
Then I put it on the line.
Okay.
That's what's happening. That's how confident I feel. Baby T.
I have lipstick that I can do for you. Wait,
good.
I did the math. I mean, it's only six games. It's not like it took me forever.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah.
Are you ready, Layla?
Yeah.
Gut feeling 2-4. They are going to get swept by the Detroit Lions.
The part of Layla is now being played by Tyler Farrell.
He did say baby T. He did say baby T.
Oh, he said, yeah, Robbie said baby T. Before you
My
said
bad.
That.
Communication breakdown.
Sorry.
If we were all in the car together, we would fall off a cliff.
No, because I'd be behind the wheel. We'd probably run into another car.
Technically, I drive the show, actually.
Stop every hour to get gas and stretch because you don't want the car to get too overtaxed, too. That's what would happen.
Where would we all go if we all got in a car together?
Hell. 2 and 4 was my mark.
That's why I'm driving. 2 and 4
for the
mark. We're going to Topgolf.
2 and 4, unfortunately, because I think they beat the Vikings twice. But Micah Parsons really kind of changes the issue here in Green Bay, and I'm not happy about it.
Next question. We stick in the NFC North. Who wins the NFC North?
Detroit.
Plus one.
They're going to be healthy. They won't have a billion people on injured reserve like they did last year. The odds of that happening are astronomical, so Detroit.
Their players are all back. Aiden Hutchinson is healthy. I'm not as into the whole they don't have... They don't have their offensive coordinator, they don't have their defensive coordinator, they don't have their running backs coach, and there's more. So I get there to be some adjustment to it, but if you can't find a way to make that talent work, then shame on you in Detroit. So it's still the Lions at the top of the division.
I would agree that it's the Lions at the top of the division. I'm going to go ahead and just... Is it a clean sweep?
Yeah, it's a clean sweep right there.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to pick here.
Okay.
I mean, the Bears are going to be pretty good this year.
That's for me.
I'll go with the Lions. Yeah, the Lions are going to be good.
Okay, Robbie, you're dismissed.
13-4 for the Detroit Lions.
Go put your clown suit on. Go put it on.
Do we all say the Lions?
Lions sweep.
Ah, get your shine box.
That Micah Parsons trade didn't do a whole lot. I kind of like it.
Get your what?
Get your shine box.
You got that?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Now go get my shine box. And it was on.
Next question. The last question before we go to our NFL questions. What is the Bears' overall record this year?
Yes. The Bears' overall record.
The Bears will win.
Again, unfortunately, okay, there were two pieces of information for me that we didn't have the last time we did this. Number one was Aaron Rodgers. Number two was Micah Parsons. Or as Jerry calls him, Michael. I wish it was some dude named Michael Parsons because now I've got them at 8-9.
What did you have them at before?
I thought they could be a 10-win team.
Whew.
Could be. That could is, be.
I like how Grady's looking.
I got no problem with optimism.
All right, so that's cool. Yep, 7-10. Yep. 7-10.
Okay.
And 7-10, I want to point out, I've got them being 2-2 heading into the bye week, and then the pivotal game for me is that Washington game. I'll be wrong if they win at Washington, but if they lose at Washington, 7-10.
I got the Bears at 8-9 this year, and my number one reason is because they play some of the best teams in the NFL twice this year.
Yeah.
Those teams in their backyard. They're also at Washington, at the Bengals, at the Ravens, at Philadelphia, at San Francisco. So 8-9.
That Ravens Bengals.
Yeah. You know what they're going to win one of those, I do believe.
Here's the problem is also, I feel like there are, you know how in the tournament you have certain rules that you follow, like an 11-5 upset, for example, a 14-3. I feel the same about the NFL schedule in that every team is given to usually lose a game that they should win, even by your best prediction, and win a game that you thought they were going to lose. That's the problem. Like, what if you can figure out those two, then you're playing with house money.
What's the game you think they could win that they're supposed to lose?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, okay, this is my initial reaction after the information I had. That's what I had. But I know this is going to be wrong based on those things.
I like that at San Francisco. If things are going the way I think the offense
is
going,
that as a duh.
They've got a fighting chance in that game. That's,
will they cover George Kittle this year? That's the question. Don't
will
go
they
back.
Cover anyone?
Yeah, that was
George
whoa.
Kittle wasn't even healthy.
That was an education.
They weren't covering him.
They weren't covering anyone.
No, they weren't.
All right, Twitch has them at tying 6 games. That's good to know.
Oh, okay. That's good. My Chicago Bears are going to finish 8-9. I think after this year, we're going to be confident about the quarterback, confident about Ben Johnson.
My Chicago Bears. Bears will take the North.
No. You can't do both.
Yeah,
I'm doing both.
You can't. No,
watch me.
No,
watch. Baby T.
Baby T's Chicago Bears are going 9-8 and missing the playoffs by one game.
The meatballs out.
What's
but he did say they're missing the playoffs.
By one game. One full game.
That's like a half a meatball right there. That's a meatball without the sauce.
Guys, this Micah Parsons thing is a real buzzkill.
It's fine.
Buzz Killington?
It'll be fine in a couple of
years. For who?
3 years, 4 years.
Wait, it's a buzzkill, so are you unhappy about it?
Yeah, man. It's a buzzkill for the schedule predicting segment.
Oh, right.
It had more like mystery.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Prestige.
All right, on to the next.
We have three more questions. Oh. We are done with the Bears question, unless you want to put the Bears in one of these questions. Bears.
No.
Next question. Who wins the NFC and goes and represents the NFC in the Super Bowl?
Can I tell you something? So again, I'm like, the NFC is wide open. It's usually a team that you don't predict is going to win the NFC, is going to win it, but they made some noise in the playoffs the year before. Challenging, say, the Philadelphia Eagles in an excellent game.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
So I was like, oh, what makes me look kind of crazy? What's a risk I could take? The Rams.
Rams are a good pick.
So
the Rams are right there.
That's what I went with. The Rams. But Rams. Then Albert Breer had the same thing, and now I feel like a cheater.
Breersy.
I don't think the Eagles are going back. So I looked around, and I thought, is anybody from the NFC North going to the Super Bowl? I was like, no. Is anybody from the NFC South going to the Super Bowl? I couldn't even get that out with a straight face. My bad. So I went over to the NFC West. I started squinting real hard. And what I came up with was the Rams. Because, like, that's a team. Their coach, the quarterback, if he's healthy, they're good.
Okay. I am going. Are we doing both NFC and AFC?
I think like Super Bowl matchup right now.
Oh, just NFC. Okay. Yeah. Didn't want to ruin it. I am going with the Eagles. I do believe, like, there's just too much talent in that organization. We all saw, I mean, that was dominant what they put on. I get it. Like, it's tough to get back in. It's tough to repeat all of that stuff. But I cannot deny the Eagles, who will be 1-0 after tonight.
My brain says Eagles. My heart says Lions. But because I want to seem so smart in this time capsule, give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that offense is going to be electric this
year. Interesting.
You should have Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I like the pick. I do.
I do not.
I'm not saying it because, Marshall, Shocker. I disagree with you, and Robbie, I've been agreeing with you all day. My bold prediction this year, Baker Mayfield, MVP, Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to the Super Bowl.
Wow, look at that.
Baker is the MVP.
They're in passing yards last year. They got some weapons on offense.
I mean, I'm aware. It's just, here we were all talking about Joe Burrow probably getting it retroactively for last year, you know?
Mid-season resurgence.
Two-minute drill here. Who wins the AFC quickly?
Bills.
The aforementioned Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Baltimore.
Give me the Chiefs.
Buffalo Bills.
And the last question we will have on fire, on file. Who wins the Super Bowl this year?
Bills.
Give me the Bengals.
Baltimore.
Wow, everyone's AFC because I'm going with the Chiefs again. Travis Kelce runs into the sunset.
They've got all the quarterbacks. They've got all the quarterbacks.
For me, the formula in the AFC is this. Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills. You're going to get tired of me saying it all the time, but tell me when it's wrong.
Bills Mafia, Buffalo Bills.
And that right there, time capsule. We'll find out in a couple months how wrong everyone is. Great job, everyone.
May I just say, too, that if you want more, because we have some slightly different questions Dan Weider and I do, and they take the North podcast. So if you download that right now, I'll just tell you the extra categories that we had. Breakout player, most disappointing player.
Is this the NFL or just the team?
No,
the
Bears. Just Bears.
Okay,
just Bears.
Bears, yeah, most disappointing.
I know. Can you believe Weider had that? I'm like, what are you doing to us? We got to walk in that locker room, man.
I like that, it. It's spicy.
That's going to be a battle.
Oh, it was very uncomfortable.
Very spicy.
Signature win is also one, and team MVP.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so that's take your hint.
Tooney for MVP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Were you aware that Ben Johnson is okay with maybe raising some expectations on the win-loss side?
I think this kind of got glossed over yesterday because it's fascinating. I actually gave this some thought before we were reunited on Tuesday, and then I decided, let's not do it then. Let's do it like next Monday. But it's kind of underpinning the whole thing. Like, how are we going to gauge this year? You know, I've been a part of this show in this slot for a long time. And there was a year there where we decided to just, you know, count moral victories. We literally mapped it out.
The Justin years.
Yeah, the Justin year. Like, okay, if Justin makes progress and we believe in the coaching staff and some of Ryan Pohl's talent acquisitions all look good, if two out of those three are a yes, we'll call that a moral victory. Regardless.
If Justin has a great game, then it doesn't matter what the other... Because there were like a couple of those where you were like, look,
Justin
ran for 160 yards and threw two touchdowns. So we're going to just wipe away the other criteria.
Right. So certain seasons, it makes sense to like think about it as, all right, we're going to chart moral victories. I don't know that this season makes sense for that, but or does it? That's a kind of an open conversation.
Well, here's what Ben had to say about Caleb's development and kind of where that leads them.
He's so young, you know, and there's a lot he's learning, but he's a sponge right now. I mean, he was up in my office a couple of days ago and we watched a couple games together, and he's just, I mean, the entire time, anything I would say, I see him jotting it down in his notebook. And so that's an encouraging thing right now with where we're at. We're going to grow together. This offense is going to grow together with him. And, you know, there'll be some bumpy steps along the way, but that's okay. That's the nature of doing it. But I feel really good about where he's at right now, and there's no reason why we can't win this year.
No reason why we can't win this year. So, yeah, like I'm cool with redefining expectations and thinking about moral victories, but I don't believe this is a year to do that. You're Ben freaking Johnson, and I know it's year one, but hell, we've seen Matt Nagy win in this town in year one with Mitch Trubisky. We see it happen in the NFL all the time. We see it with the rookie CJ Stroud, you know, and then he follows it up.
Jaden Daniels.
Remember him? Daniels, I do.
Perhaps
I do.
The best quarterback in the NFC.
And so
perhaps.
But so you invested like crazy in the offensive line and the defensive line. I know the quarterback is relearning stuff, but you're smart enough, Ben, to simplify things and run the hell out of the ball and try to make your quarterback's life easier. I'm not going to be counting moral victories. I'm with Ben Johnson, and he just said it right there that this is about winning. Not to say I'm going to be disappointed if they go 9-8 and miss the playoffs or 10-7 and miss the playoffs.
I mean, if that's where they're at, I think everyone's really happy. I think the danger in that, and I want him to go in thinking that his team is capable of winning. The danger in it is there are still things that have to happen. And everyone that you've talked to over the last month, when we start talking about where Caleb is at, has kind of told us all the same thing. And you know that I feel similarly. November, Thanksgiving.
Olin just threw it in mm-hmm. conversation. You heard Olin say, I'll judge about midseason.
And that's where I'm at on this. But
that doesn't mean they can't win along the way.
It doesn't, but I think that the most important part is still that guy. And if he's not quite where you need him to be yet, it's hard to ask him to go and win.
Yeah, no, it's true. But when you say that and we're saying like what we need him to be, we need him to be, you know, good on the basics, right? Mm-hmm. Like the very basics. I had a great conversation the other morning with Dan Wiederer in our morning show, Mully and Hall, about, you know, Wiederer was talking about when he watched tape of Brady one time, I think when he was in Minnesota, when Wiederer was covering the Vikings, and he watched a Brady tape, and he realized that in the 38 completions or whatever he was seeing, that Brady threw the ball about 6 to 8 air yards.
Yes.
Like each time.
This is
what we need. If Caleb can wrap his head around that, check down, check down, check down, hit somebody in stride, move the ball, check down, check down. And then every once in a while, but he might have games where he never does the every once in a while. And that's okay, because they can win this way.
I don't need him to just check it down, okay? But that's why I keep bringing up Jared Goff. Like, that's why. Because when you're watching him, you're watching a guy that's playing on time, that's getting the ball out and allowing his guys to make moves. If it's a shallow cross and you give Luther Burden a shallow cross that you're hoping you get 5 yards, but you end up getting 13 because he's good run after the catch. Same thing with DJ Moore.
Yep.
I don't want to just say, listen, go into this thing and don't make any mistakes and just check it down. I want him to play on time. And what did DJ Moore say? It's a race. It's a race to see who gets open first and be in his progression and get open and get the ball to that person.
Did he say that yesterday in that cut, the Grody play?
Yeah.
Because last year he said it's a race to 1,000 yards, didn't he?
Well,
Is that him?
I think DJ Moore's perspective on things has been changed for him up there. I think that they really like him, but they want more from him. And so far, what we're hearing is a guy that has gotten the message, I think.
Oh, man. I'm laughing because you said something off the air that made me laugh so hard. And, you know, I want to set you up to say it on the air, but I want to be a good partner, and I got to make sure, because I've done that in the past, where I set somebody up. So I don't want to make you say it, but now I'm talking about it, and I think by now you know what I'm talking about. So I'm hoping at some point you jump in and you say, I'll say it on the air. Is that going to happen right now or not going to? Lawrence is taking a sip of his tea. So I'm out here on an island just talking to myself.
It was
something
about white people, wasn't it?
It's more about those space Nazis.
That's right. He was ranting. No, we were celebrating the fact that Matt Forte is coming on Tuesdays.
Fine, I'll say it.
Okay, good. So Matt Forte is coming on Tuesdays. Very exciting. And you're like, right, Tuesdays at 3:00, we get Matt Forte. And this year we need more offense, right?
Yes. But we couldn't get Jay because Jay was in jail.
That's why we can't get him. And I tried to tell Lawrence, that's not a shot at Jay. That's just facts.
It's not. We didn't even reach out to Jay. But
we couldn't reach
that's
him.
That's why it's not. No,
he's busy.
We could. I literally have his phone number.
But I don't think he can answer right now in the pokey.
He was only in the pokey for 4 days, which was probably only 2 days.
Oh.
That he was there. And the biggest charge against him was dropped. So,
oh man, well,
the weapons charge.
Yeah, that's
because he had 2 loaded weapons in the car.
Yeah, that ain't right. That ain't right. But
and I think that Jay's biggest mistake was actually a mistake that he made on the field a lot, which is where he didn't understand that the defense knew what was coming, and he didn't offer the best thing. He offered the guy $2,000 to not say anything.
Oh yeah,
had he offered him $10,000,
maybe.
I think the guy walks away. I think he's like, $10,000? Let's go.
Yeah, $2,000.
$2,000?
That's insulting.
A little light. It's a little light.
With D'Angelo Williams, not D'Angelo, D'Angelo Hall.
It's him going after D'Angelo Hall.
Yeah.
Again and again and again.
The cop's like, I know he's going to throw the cash to me.
Yep, he's going to do this thing. And that is still one of the most amazing games I've ever covered. Where you're like, will he do it again?
And he did.
That guy had more receptions and more yards and more touchdowns in that game than a Bears receiver did.
Man.
4 picks. He just kept, and this is from stuff that I had heard from people that practiced with Jay. This is stuff that would happen in practice too, where he would get something in his head. Someone would say something like, I got to challenge that guy and go after him. And in some cases, it was great. In this case, it was not.
I always think of something that Mark Trestman said about him, that Jay, sometimes when he's outside of the pocket, he loses himself for a moment. And I'm like, ooh, there was some honesty right there.
Well, if you were drawing up a quarterback, yeah, it would look like Jay Cutler.
I really would.
Right? Like, yeah. It would be 6'3". It would be 225 pounds. It would have rocket for an arm. Mm-hmm. Incredible mobility.
Cigarette hanging off the bottom lip.
That's if you're a really good artist, then you're drawing up a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm drawing one anyway, I go ahead and I put that smoke there.
I just like that Rex Grossman is like out of hiding. Like he's out here doing these cruises now.
Oh, that's right. He's
like part Rex of the cruise left company. And then we like never saw him again. And then this summer he popped back up.
Seriously, I'm psyched to have Forte on the show.
Me too.
I love that. I know that's a good relationship for you. And you guys were really good together on the TV show on NBC Sports Chicago.
RIP.
And but you know, Forte talking offense and run game and outlets and checkdowns.
And the league. Like that's the thing where he's still close enough to it where he's got guys that he played with or against that are still in the league, like some of them just hanging on. But like Grady Jarrett, for example, like that's a guy that was in the league when Matt was still playing. So he's got a lot of knowledge, and I feel like he's an untapped resource. And even when we were doing the football after show, I'm like, man, we can get more out of Matt Forte. So the fact that he's going to be with us every Tuesday is going to be outstanding.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
What's the biggest personnel question you have remaining for the Bears for their opener a week from yesterday? Are you surprised you still have a few questions this early before the start of the season, or are you used to it? Uncertainty with the Bears. Will it all be resolved favorably by next Monday?
Every season has its own set of questions, and this is no different. I think that some of the questions the Bears are facing beginning today or continuing to face today are reminders that just don't get too carried away with those optimistic preseason predictions. It is sobering to consider, as we sit here this morning on September 2nd, that Jalen Johnson has yet to practice. That, to me, is the biggest question mark about what happens later today. Is Jalen Johnson on the field? If he's not on the field, you have to have serious doubt whether or not he's going to be able to play against the best receiver he's going to face all year. And that gives you pause in being too optimistic. I shouldn't speak for everyone. It gives me pause and hesitation in going into the season and thinking all of the things that we had hoped to be possible are still possible. You've got to have your best defensive player. Jaquan Brisker, is he going to be back on the practice field? Who is the left tackle, and why did they wait this long to anoint or appoint Braxton Jones? Who's healthy in the running back room? Those are the three biggest questions I have. And then you get to the football stuff. You get away from the health stuff, and I still wonder about how they're going to stop the run. That, to me, is the biggest question mark about this Bear defense. The offense, I think, will take care of itself. I have confidence in Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, but the health concerns kind of overshadow all the other questions that I have.
Well, there are plenty of questions, which is a little concerning, no doubt. And Ben Johnson does talk today and tomorrow ahead of the game. So some of these questions will be addressed. Will they be answered? TBD. I'm most concerned about the secondary. Is Jalen Johnson back? What's up with Brisker? The Vikings do have the number one receiver in all of the NFL. They have a new quarterback. What's that connection going to be like? They brought back Adam Thielen. I know it's not a huge thing, but they did bring him back. It is like a security blanket. The Bears secondary going into week one is a concern, especially after what the Chiefs were able to do against that quote-unquote first-string defense in Kansas City about, seems like a year ago, but 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, I think we get the first injury report on Wednesday, but probably Thursday. Thursday at 3 for the Bears. So I'm really anxious to see the injury report because I've got a lot of questions. I've got a lot of questions about a lot of players, including the running backs, including you mentioned the the secondary. I want to know about Kyler Gordon. I want to know, obviously, about Jalen Johnson. We'll get reports, hopefully, on whether or not these guys are practicing. But, yeah, I mean, the injuries are the biggest concern because they determine who's able to play and who isn't. But, you know, the left tackle thing remains just a great mystery. I would imagine he will straighten that out today and say that Braxton Jones is going to be the starter to open the season. You know, they've identified that bye week. We played a cut from the coach talking about how that's going to determine who they are. They'll know by then what they are and what their season. Boy, I hope they start stronger than expected. I hope they're 500 by the bye week, frankly, but I don't know that they will be. But I think the largest issue is injury and who's got naggy injuries, who's able to open the season and who isn't. And mainly that's Jalen Johnson. He hasn't played, right? Did he play yesterday?
They didn't practice yesterday.
They just had a couple players.
I think
players
they had a walkthrough or something to that effect, but they did not have media access.
If he's not out there today, there's no way he's going to be out there on Monday.
That's the big question, is that when they return and talk about it, I think we'll get an update from the head coach, and that will be something that will help us. It will have a more informed opinion about what to expect.
They got a lot of ticky-tack kind of injuries to a lot of different positions, and we're not sure who's available and who isn't.
I think every team probably, as you know, has those injuries, ticky-tack injuries, a product of preseason. But what Jalen Johnson's is, whatever it is,
he has not played all year or off-season. I know.
The last time we saw Jalen Johnson was in Green Bay. Didn't he play against the Packers?
Yeah.
So that was the last time he played football.
That's a very disconcerting and worrisome injury. I mean, if he's not able to go, not good.
Not good.
No.
No.
And by the way, Kyler Gordon hasn't played much either.
Yeah. He's been to be healthy.
They need to be at full strength.
This is a game they got to feel like they can steal. Because the Vikings roster is better than the Bears roster. That's not a slight on anybody. This is a team coming off a big season. And they just do have more talent. They lost a quarterback, but they feel good about McCarthy. If the Bears can steal this game because he's making his first NFL start, then you're off, and it sets his table for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I really feel like they need to win this game in order to feel good about this season, and I'm not sure that they're going to. So we'll hold all bets until we know who's in and who's out, but it's definitely disconcerting at this point, not knowing that.
Yeah, we didn't maybe score as many points or anything like that last year, or win as many games. But some of these reports that come out, yes, they are a little false, especially after a year that I had last year. It's all right. It's everybody's job, and everybody has a job to do. And my job is to win games.
This is Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. That was Caleb Williams when he was on with Mark Grody and me talking about the question that you asked him, Mark, as to whether or not he was judged fairly. And I feel like that's a good place to continue as we hear some Stone Temple Pilots in honor of Mark Grody Day here on The Score. He felt it. He felt the understanding that he is an epicenter for conversation, discussion, and the like. And Jason Leisure, our friend at the Sun-Times, who's off and on with the afternoon show, continued with this. Leisure profiled the discourse surrounding Caleb Williams, and then he was also on the Amon-Ra and Equanimeous St. Brown podcast, the St. Brown Brothers podcast, and it was talked about there as well. And I feel like that's where you have to start, is so many times we talk about out-of-town stupid, but when it comes to the out-of-town lightning bolt that I feel like surrounds Caleb Williams from discussion, comments everywhere, the commentary that's on national networks and the like, he is somebody who I feel like not only is he talked about differently here compared to everywhere else, you do have a little bit of the hate here, But just the way he's discussed is like something we've never seen before.
The in-town hate is expected because there's going to be people who line up and who love Caleb Williams for whatever reasons they have, and there's going to be people who hate because haters exist. What caught me off guard and what I was not expecting, did you see what Sam Acho said about Caleb Williams? This was the all-timer for me.
And knowing Sam Acho, it's baffling why these things get said like this.
This man went on national TV, and he talked about the fact that Caleb Williams didn't have his socks pulled all the way up in a preseason game, and somehow that made him both sloppy and a bad leader. And it's the way he said it with the same tone that you would say, well, he threw into triple coverage and that's why this was bad. I was like, this is completely subjective. Why are we doing this? Why are you saying this? I don't understand it.
That specific part, I don't understand. But the scrutiny, believe it or not, and trust me, as somebody who is in that Bears locker room as much as anybody, and at Hallis Hall as much as anybody, I do laugh at a lot of these specific things that are said about the national audience or when they catch up or what they glom onto. However, this quarterback, Caleb Williams, even 2 years prior to being drafted, was being talked about as the next... The word generational, which we're not really using anymore. The word elite, the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, right? Like a slam dunk, plug and play. This guy is like nothing that you have ever seen before. The adjectives were heavy. I'm part of it. You know what I mean? The plaudits were at a 10. So when you build up to that, I do think that there is some, and there's two parts to it. There's a little bit of resentment when there are people that maybe were skeptical about him being all that, and then all of a sudden, maybe to some degree, that they are proved right. So far, because of the season that we saw him have last year and to some degree some of the things we've seen this year. So I do, like, it's such an easy target. The number one overall pick, generational, elite, and he's the Chicago Bears quarterback. You know, like, he's not stuffed away in Tennessee or something like that. You know what I mean? So it's, and the fact that the stuff with his dad, all of it plays into this. Okay, where's this great elite generational quarterback? So some of it's stupid. What you just said, the Acho stuff is dumb. Absolutely, because style is a real thing in the NBA, in Major League Baseball. I mean, think about the way Major League Baseball players have been. Like, we want to just talk about their trousers. So, like, it used to be
Pat Hughes.
Over the spikes.
Not the trousers.
The trousers.
The stirrups.
I don't understand. Why does he have his pants pulled over his spikes? I don't understand. But, and then some guys have them
Alfonso
Carrasco. Carlos Carrasco with the, like, basically looks like he's wearing shorts out there, like, watching him play. So I get it to some degree, but a lot of it is dumb, too.
Our segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I feel like the hot take industrial complex hits an all-time high when you're trying to figure out whether or not somebody's a good quarterback by their socks. Like, that's, I think, unfortunately, part of this is that things get exaggerated and you've got to be different from the next person in the hot take industrial complex because that's how you stand out. And then that's how you end up with takes like this. I liked what Caleb Williams had to say to Jason Leisure because the operable question is why. And he says, I do things differently. Dress, play, all of these different things, paint my nails or whatever. I do some things that don't harm anybody else, but that other people don't like and have strong opinions about. He's right. If you're different, especially now from the prescribed social media aesthetic, whether that is whatever you choose as a woman on Instagram or whether it's the social media aesthetic that they prescribe to you as a quarterback, for example.
It's crazy.
Or how you're supposed to act or how you're supposed to be. Then I think that this happens. I also think that there is an element of criticism because he's also made a lot of money already. You know, he broke the mold in that way, too, having made $10 million out of college. He's done things differently. And what is different in this society is what gets you hated.
Also, the hate, I think, Mark, you brought it up, the Chicago thing. Him having to do it in Chicago, while it is a positive in terms of getting him exposure, He's not tucked away in Jacksonville or somewhere ever. But at the same time, people know that Chicago just doesn't have generational talent at quarterback. So it's also almost a chip against him. This is why he's destined to fail, because look at Chicago as an organization. And it's a good thing they have Ben Johnson now as the head coach, or I think that hate would be even stronger, because like, he's gone out on the vine to die. He's been left in Chicago to die. Now, Ben Johnson can reverse course on that. And I think ultimately, all the hate that he's getting, it changes on its head if he has the type of season that Ben Johnson quarterbacks have been capable of doing.
So Caleb Williams also continued with Jason Leisure. He said, I've also been in some pretty cool positions in my life. Starting quarterback for the Bears, I went number one, won the Heisman. So I'd rather have people talking about me than not. And that was what I appreciated, Mark, about what he had to say when it came to your question. He's like, that's not my job to judge whether or not it's fair.
Honestly, by the way, I said Carlos Carrasco earlier. I meant to say Carlos Santana. So me on that.
Well,
one.
And I was thinking of the OG Alfonso Soriano.
Oh, yeah. No, that's an even better reference. The part about Caleb Williams when it comes to all of this, whenever he's asked about it, obviously I asked him about it. There's been other times when, you know, he was asked about that video where he was missing the, when he was throwing the ball at the target, and he was, remember that, the video gate thing? And he had to explain it, but he laughs it off. Like he's I'm sure it irritates him, but he comes across as amused by it more than anything. Like, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I could. Like, he's ready to answer it. He's ready to laugh about it. Even the stuff with Seth Wickersham when he was asked about not knowing how to
watch film,
and he literally laughed it off. He's like, oh, yeah, I saw that. That's ridiculous. Like, it got misinterpreted. So while I'm sure he wants to push back sometimes, what I do know is that he is elite when it comes to dealing. Like, he is made to deal with that kind of stuff, considering where he came from and the way he's been raised and the money that he already has in his pocket.
Right. Like, this is something that book says. He's been serious since he was 9 years old.
You exactly.
know, that was discussed in there. Amon Ross St. Brown on the St. Brown Brothers podcast talked about the criticism that he gets on a daily basis.
Oh, that's my guy.
Bro, I'll be on Twitter. Like, I feel like they be on his 24/7. He can't do right. Like, no matter what he does, good or bad, it's all on Twitter. Like, I swear he can't breathe. Like, there's one dude in the NFL, it's him. Like,
nah,
he takes one step wrong, it's like, oh, Caleb did this. Like, bro, they can't just let him be. I feel bad sometimes, man. I be like, bro.
Nah, they be right for sure. I'm not going to lie. It's crazy because, like, you see, like, other players, and, like, we watch the film and you know, like, who's out here really.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like, when it comes to C. Will, I don't know what it was. That media had asked me like the same thing today. And I was like, I don't know. Y'all tell me. Like, y'all the ones out there creating all the stories, like, and all this different stuff. So I don't know. It comes to a point, like, it don't even come down to like keep it football, because all the football stuff they talk about be false too. So it's like, I don't know. You just get all the flack. It's like the number one pick, you know, in Chicago. Right. That's the treatment they get. So I don't know.
And that was also the voice of Roma Dunze that you hear there too, who was drafted practically side by side with him, number 9 overall and number 1 overall. So, you know, they have that connection. And I think there's a part of this, too, that needs to be said, and I'll continue to say it as long as it is a thing. There's a prescribed way that people want certain people to act. And when they don't act that way, a lot of people get angry.
Yeah, people love an excuse and a reason to be miserable, because most people, and I, unfortunately, I believe this to be true, most people are miserable at their core. They are not happy with what they are doing in life. That's why reality TV gets the ratings that it gets, because people are just trying to escape their own reality and find something either entertaining or more depressing than their own versions of life. And I think with Caleb Williams, there's a reason he laughs it off most of the time when these things are brought up, Mark, because he's laughing all the way to the bank. And he understands, if I just play better football, all this attention that I'm getting, it will remain. It'll just be mostly positive.
Yeah, and what Rome doesn't realize, and maybe other players on that offense, that Caleb takes all the heat so you don't have to. You know, there'd be so much more. Like, Rome had a decent rookie season, but there would have been, even going back to camp when we're all breathless, as we should be, over Caleb Williams, we would have been breathless. Roma Dunze, also a number one pick. So we would have been breathless, and our scrutiny, not necessarily hard criticism, we'd be telling you every day, what are the updates on Roma Dunze? What did Roma Dunze do today? Like with Kevin White when he was the number one receiver drafted here. Ugh. And it was, what's your number one doing? So it's like he gets other guys off the hook. A lot of it's silly, but there have been some heavy adjectives associated with Caleb Williams, unlike most quarterbacks. And I mean, how many can you count that have come out of college and it's like, this is a slam dunk quarterback? I mean, Andrew Luck, and then who's before that?
You want to do something like a thought exercise?
Yeah, thought exercise, Danny yeah. Parkins.
Look up the 2015 NFL draft first round.
Didn't we do this?
Yes.
Did we do this on telly?
And that's kind of why that's what I'm getting at here. Look at that first round of the 2015 NFL draft.
Yeah.
Because it's recent enough to where you know how you felt about looking at that draft, but then it's also far away enough where you're like, man, what were some of these thoughts? And again, you know, that's a whole other industrial complex, the draft industrial complex, but it's a confluence of issues that I think we will continue to observe, and unfortunately it will evolve, because as we know, people keep moving the goalposts.
That's never going to change.
That's why I paused there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Should the Bears have seven captains again this year? All
Well, if they can get a few O linemen and D linemen in there, it'd be nice. So you can have seven, but let's get a few linemen in there, a few guys who, I always say, guys, the farther you get away from the football, the farther you get away from football.
We got captains, so it's I know it's a larger group than we're used to, but we have a bigger group of leadership now.
And Ben Johnson came in and did exactly what Olin was talking about.
That is really interesting. That quote from Olin, which has
such
left a mark
quote.
And stuck around our football brains all offseason, was in response to the captain question. I did not remember that was the context. That's fascinating. Because now there are lineman captain. Mm-hmm. There are older veteran captains.
Guys with real accomplishments for their career.
Uh-huh. Rather than a hodgepodge of theoretical leaders designed to prop up a bad leader in a head coach.
Default leaders, because there weren't
guys here with those resumes. Mm-hmm. Not that the guys that were captains last year weren't worthy, but there's a difference. Like there's a difference between, like, just look at Joe Tooney's resume. There's a difference between him and the guys that were captains last year.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he's accomplished, like, he's got the hardware.
I mean, as soon as Joe Tooney was signed, and as soon as, at least for me, we heard from Grady Jarrett the first time, because I knew about the resume, but I didn't know about that guy's mindset and that guy's gravitas and the respect level around the league.
Yes.
So as soon as both those guys got here, it's like, okay, well, those... That seems obvious.
Doesn't that feel a lot better when you add it to Kevin Byard and Caleb Williams? Like that feels like three guys that have done stuff in the league, and your quarterback and your kicker. We're good.
Yeah, it feels very intuitive. Now, it was a player vote, simply a player vote. So that helps, too, because what's interesting is we've got several guys who were captains last year and are not this year.
And I wonder if those captains were like, I'm going to vote for Grady Jarrett and for Joe Tooney
because
I don't need this nonsense.
Would you like to see DJ Moore's ballot and see if he voted?
I very much would. I'd like to see Jalen's.
See if those guys vote for themselves.
Did you vote for yourself? Nope. I'm on an island.
Oh, hopefully we get a chance to ask Jalen that very soon. That'd be a hilarious question. So player voting. Come on, you can tell us, Jalen. Did you vote for yourself for captain?
And he's like, no, I voted for Grady Jarrett.
Well.
And Kevin Byard.
How many could you vote for?
Did I vote for myself?
I mean, could you vote? Do we have any details on the process? I haven't seen any details. It's like the Baseball Writers Association of America with the Hall of Fame.
With less gatekeeping.
I miss him overnights. He was terrific.
Less gatekeeping?
He was. I mean, he kept some things away from the air.
But less than most people.
Yeah, I mean, Mo gatekeeping. He was on a different station.
That guy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
But, you know, what's the other interesting thing is that they're all grown-ups, except for Caleb. Caleb is the only one who's under the age of what, 29?
Yeah, and he's a pretty mature 23. Is he 23 now? Mm-hmm. Pretty mature 23 years old guy.
So look, do you think, or have you heard anything? Have you read anything? Because we haven't really heard them comment on it specifically. Jalen was, you know, Jalen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, TJ Edwards,
and Tremaine Edmonds.
That's five dudes who were captains last year and are not this year.
I think that the only person that has a gripe is TJ Edwards because he is another guy that has a pretty strong resume and he didn't do anything that would lead you to believe he should not be a captain this year. Like his play was exemplary last year. There were no issues with him. There's nobody questioning. He's, to me, the only person with a gripe.
Cole?
If there is a gripe.
Does Cole have a gripe?
Sure. He could say I'm the longest tenured guy here and I should be a captain. But I imagine Cole probably wants some of that stuff off of his plate too.
Maybe. But it
I imagine it hurt.
But well, that's the thing. Like I can see just on a human level.
Yeah. I can totally imagine, especially since it is a player vote, where you're like, I thought I was
good.
I thought I was doing really well here, and apparently I'm not.
Well, Cole's got to be, you know, I mean, they drafted a tight end as well. So mm-hmm. your NFL mortality comes at you very fast, you know?
It's year seven.
It's the fact that it's already year seven for Cole is insane to think about. So I don't know. I'd be curious how it feels. It wouldn't feel great to me necessarily.
Not at all.
I could see being upset by it and having to do some work. Look, we all got to do some work to get our heads in a good space on the daily. Let's be honest. If we're really being forthright and conscious about snubs, real or perceived,
yeah.
You know, like I don't love the way I'm being treated at work. Okay, well, still got to show up to work. Let me get myself in a good headspace.
What did we do?
You guys?
Is it the Jason Leisure stuff?
I have a list.
We're not surprised.
What I've done is I've put together a gratitude list for you guys.
Oh, that's nice. Right. Oh, how we should be grateful?
Yes.
Got it.
It's one thing to do gratitude. I do gratitude lists for myself in the morning, but I'm taking it next level. I'm putting together gratitude lists for you guys to be thankful for about things that I do for you.
Hey, fellas, real quick, let's go to our list.
Yes.
Let's see how we did.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Tanny, number one on your gratitude list for me.
Wow, he's really going through with this.
Just my presence next to you in the office.
No, yeah, I was going to say your fondness for things on plaques and your ability to recite them verbatim on the spot. You've always had a great reverence for plaques, and I've always appreciated that about you.
You know what you should do for him, Tanny? You should bring him the plaque of your Lysagor. And have them read that.
Oh, that's in a plaque.
It's much too heavy, much too big of an award to bring into the studio.
They should add a line to that. They should add a line to that.
They should. And then you should remember it because you forgot it.
I should tease it and not deliver it. I hope people listening now heard the open where I joined a really tremendous crew of people who stammered and struggled for content. It was right there. It was me, Mark Grody, Les Grobstein, and Mike.
You
Francesa.
Had the content. You just lost your place. It happens. We had more time
sure.
in the segment, okay. we would have done it.
Hey, sometimes I'm an idiot. Like, I don't know if you guys knew this.
Did you put that on Alex's list of things that he should be grateful for about you?
Hey, Spinks, you're not an idiot. Like, I'll say it.
Spot on. Oh, I thought that was Alex.
I mean, every once in a while, you know, we're all idiots, and that was my moment. All right, so anyway, so back to this.
You're not going to go around the room, just me, huh?
Yeah, no, Tanny, for the gratitude list? Yeah.
I actually saw the list, and he put the Flo Rida mug that he got me from somewhere in Indiana at the top of that list, so I already know. It's cool. We're good.
I love that you remember where I got it. I did get it in Goshen, Indiana. I got you a Florida mug and then tried to play it off as a Flo Rida mug. There's Mitch Rosen. Mitch, there's a list for you. Things you should be grateful for about me. I'll get it to you. Tanny, do you want to hand that to Mitch? You hand that directly to him. No? All right.
What am I grateful about you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
We've known each other a long time.
That's true.
Wow.
I have to think about this.
You'd think something would come to mind faster. I'll be honest.
You'd think.
But
it's not going well.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Oh, he's going into the tank for the rest of the show, man.
No, we're good.
You know what? We do need to make a Starbucks run for my man.
No, I'm good, man. I got some in my Breakfast of Champions. I got the Hot Joe.
Okay.
We're good. Don't you worry. Lawrence, you're a good partner. You're very concerned when you see something wrong with your boy. But I'm all right. I'm going to be okay. I'm
always concerned. Yeah.
You know? You live there.
I'm the mayor of Worry Town. So I worry. And I want you to be okay.
I'm like, okay.
That's
all right, just to wrap this up with a bow.
Okay.
We worried about anybody with some sour grapes about having the C removed?
I don't think so, but I do think that us asking the question of Jalen is required.
I think it is.
I think, because I'd love to get his perspective on it, because you go from that moment of, for him, remember the place that he was in when Eberflus got here. Eberflus had him on the third team. He's clearly, at the time, like your best player.
Yeah.
And you had him on the third team. And then he rises to become a second team All-Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the better corners, if not the best corner.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
You know, the thing that I worry about with any team is if dudes are feeling a little bit grumpy or a little bit overlooked or a little bit disrespected, you can start to go for self, you know? And that happens in bands, it happens in teams, it happens on radio shows, not this one. But you know what I mean? Like, you can go for self a little bit, and in football, you do that, a team can crumble quickly.
It can. It can also be a motivator. And I'm glad that you used the word grumpy, because it allows me to tell the Alex Brown story.
Okay.
Of Alex Brown having to deal with Mark Anderson coming in and having, 12 and a half sacks that year, and not being treated with the respect that a guy who is fourth on the all-time sack list, because don't say top five, because that implies that he might be five.
Yeah.
He's number four on that list. that whole camp in Bourbonnais, Alex literally wore a Grumpy, the dwarf shirt around campus. And then he had one of his best seasons as a pro. Like, he knew what he needed to do, and he used it as motivation. Lovey was the king of, like, low-key motivating things. And Alex's whole thing was, like, I knew that Mark couldn't play the run, and I can. So I knew I would get myself on the field.
That's interesting. So, but Alex still behaved like a good teammate should. He stayed an assignment sound.
100%.
That's the thing. You can get selfish and go for self and blow up a play in football if you're trying to do too much.
Are you subtweeting Tyreek Stevenson right now? Because that's what it feels like you're doing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.